first. Now, though, we'll hear from Dave Ulrich. He's a professor at the Michigan Business School in the United States. He's a guru of human resources. He was in Dubai talking about talent management, leadership and culture. He says culture, corporate culture, is the new competitive advantage for organizations. Let's hear what Dave Ulrich had to say right now.
In practice, what it says is a leader needs to say, I have a strategy of where I'm going. I have financial outcomes of what defines success. I now can build my talent, my leadership, and my culture in order to make those aspirations real.
So talk to me about culture, because this is a really important part. In some ways, people listening will think, well, that sounds a little bit intangible. How can that really be a competitive advantage if I run a steel factory in Sharjah?
Culture, traditionally, is the internal patterns or norms of a company. We all run into it. You go to a restaurant, you feel the ambiance. You go to a hotel, you feel the ambiance. You go to a store, to shop. We think culture should be defined in the right way. And the right way to define culture is the internal norms, values, expectations, behaviors, consistent with the external promises. So you start the definition of the right culture by saying, what do we promise our customer? Some stores will promise low price, some will promise design, some will promise innovation. That external brand or that external promise then should be turned into a set of internal actions. And culture is successful because our internal actions reflect our external promises. Quick example, Disney World does brilliantly. Everyone knows Disney World because their external promise to the family that visits is family, fun, entertainment. They build that inside the organization among their employees so that the outside customers or guests get that great experience and pay a premium to do so.
Another good example you gave in your seminar, which a lot of people were interested in, was Victoria's Secret and some of the things that they do and how some of their success is down to internal culture. Explain that one for me.
Well, mostly, Richard, I should explain. When I said Victoria's Secret, you blush. So that would be the thing that matters the most in this interview. What Victoria's Secret's trying to do is create an identity in the mind of their customers. And that external identity then becomes their internal set of processes. One of the keys to their success is fashion. They want to have great design, great fashion in the apparel they create. To do that, they have built a culture of rapid response so that if they miss fashion, they can respond rapidly to make it happen. They're one of the great stores and great retail stores in the world about building an internal discipline to reflect the external promises.
And you mentioned the speed to market when they realize the design isn't going well versus the industry average versus how quickly they do it. Can you explain that to us?
You bet. When they've missed a design moment and their design is not right, in the industry it often takes 10 to 12 weeks, 3 months to get the product right. Because of their capacity and discipline, they can do that in 11 days. What that means is they quickly redesign the product through technology, rebuild the product, usually outside North America in Bangladesh or Sri Lanka, then have it shipped by charter jet to America so that 11 days later, their new product is in the store.
And having a culture of rapid response is the only way you can do that.
It's the culture, it's the norms, it's the DNA, it's how we think. One other example, their CEO is brilliant. He now will call a store owner, and he's sitting in his office in Ohio in the United States, and he'll say to the store owner, take out your cell phone and walk me around your store. And he'll actually give an owner anywhere in the world counsel on the design, the layout, and the display of any store in the world through technology, real time, which is just a great way to think about speed and agility.
A couple of final questions. We talked about competitive advantage. Culture is one of the pillars that you talk of. There are three. There's culture. There's also talent and leadership. For business leaders, HR managers, CEOs, business owners driving to work, listening to this, what are the things they can do when they get to the office this morning at 9 o'clock do differently in terms of, first of all, talent attraction and retention?
A business leader at 9 o'clock in the morning, first of all, should make sure that they know where they're going that day. Do our strategy clear? Are we trying to accomplish? What are my goals for the day? Three questions. One, do we have the right people with the right skills in the right place with the right commitment? That's the talent question. Two, do we have the right culture? Do we have the right norms? Do we have the right patterns that reflect customers? And three, as a leader, when I look at my calendar, Does it represent what I want to promise my customers? Am I spending my most precious commodity, which is my time, on the issues of most value?
My final question is about this region. It's a region you know well. You tell great stories about spending weeks in the desert in Saudi Arabia with some of your friends. To what extent does this management theory from a university in Michigan in North America translate to Dubai, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, or indeed different parts of the world where you travel to?
You know, one of the things I've learned, Richard, is to defer to the experts. What would you think? You are the expert. You own a radio show in this area. What would you say about management theory and practice in this region?
First guess, these principles seem fairly universal. My guess is they would work most places. What's your experience tell you?
Same thing. The principles are common. The practices may vary. I mean, obviously, I was with a company that was trying to implement a new plan, a new operation during Ramadan. Well, that's an IQ failure. You recognize the culture, the heritage, the warmth of this country and this place, and you adapt. But the principles are pretty much the same. One great leader said, I teach people correct principles. I let them govern themselves. And in this region, that's happening. What's the single best? I'm not going to let you get away. What's the single most innovative practice you've seen in this region?
Emirates Airline reinventing the way an airline should run. They haven't reinvented the aircraft. They've just reinvented the way an airline can run.
Do you fly Emirates quite a bit?
Regularly.
What do you like about them that's so good?
Quietly efficient.
Oh, that's nice, nice. By the way, notice one of the passions I think good leaders have is they want to learn from those they can learn from. Thank you for teaching me today.
Dave, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you indeed.
Very nice. Thank you so much.
Dave Ulrich there, HR guru, talking to me last week when he was in Dubai for one of his seminars. Refat writes in, culture, this is not new at all. We've been teaching the importance of this in business schools for decades. And this is what Refat says. Gurus are mostly scams, promising to change you in 1 or 2 days. This cannot happen. Refat, thanks very much indeed. Well, at the seminar, I was with one of the punters, one of the people who writes the check. Okay. Yuva Kumar is a vice president at Mashreq Bank, heads up learning and development there. And I asked him, so why do you pay the money for your staff to attend these guru seminars? This is what he said.
Ultimately, we are in the business of customers, right? We are in people business. So being in touch with the customer, maintaining that customer centricity, all these things, these are more of attitudes, not just skills and knowledge. And learning is the best way to keep ourselves, sharpening our attitude and honing our values.
Now, Gautam Ganglani heads up Right Selection, the company that brought Dave Ulrich and other gurus here. He says the way to sell these things, and it costs tens of thousands of dollars to bring them in, you need raving fans.
So then what we're looking for is raving fans of these speakers. I say raving fans in decision-making positions, because if they've picked up the book, they're a fan. If that book has impacted their life, they're a bigger fan. If that book has transformed their businesses, then they're a raving fan. If they're a raving fan, they see and have felt the value of the content and the education from these speakers, then they are compelled to have their team, their management team, their organization come and learn from the speaker firsthand, or packages of bulk training to sign with us for an annual basis.